I've got a frog in my throat and I've hurt my back, so if I seem out of sorts, that's what's going on. Do you know, about a year ago, I was asked to speak at a church. I speak at different types of churches, and this was a Church of England, and I hadn't been there before, and they said, can you come and share with us something about the work that you do with the seafarers? And can you also preach on John the Baptist, having his head chopped off? And can you do all that within 10 minutes? And I remember thinking, well, thanks a lot, you know. But as I looked at this passage of scripture, it really spoke to me, not particularly about John having his head chopped off, but John languishing in prison, and over a period of time, doubt seemed to set in on him. And the whole kind of message of doubt really is what I feel the Lord wants me to share today. Because, you know, to be honest, doubt is a common feature in the Bible. You know, if you look through the Bible, you see many stories of doubt. There's people like Abraham and Moses, and even the Lord's closest followers had times of doubt. And doubt isn't the opposite of faith. It isn't unbelief. It's where a person is raising questions and trying to find the answers to those questions. But to be sure, the Lord doesn't want to leave anybody in a permanent state of doubt. Instead, he wants that the doubter kind of push through and find those answers. And I came across a piece of scripture just recently that really shows how somebody was kind of wrestling with doubt. And it's the story of the father who brought his son, who was demon-possessed, brought his son to Jesus. And I just want to pick up that story from Mark chapter 9 and verse 21. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And I think that really shows in a very clear way how we can be believers but also struggle with unbelief, and we can have moments of doubt, particularly when we go through times of long suffering. I think what this boy's father was, how he responded to Jesus, what he was saying is, "I do have faith, but my faith isn't enough. Help me to have more." And that would be true of all of us. We do have faith, but I know I don't have enough faith. Help me to have more. So this is really what we're looking at today. And if you think about John the Baptist, there's somebody who is struggling in prison. He's a man of the wilderness. That was his calling, is to go out and to preach the good news, the arrival of the Messiah. And so he was, as we know, he was an outdoor man, and he was often found in those kind of open spaces. But here he is now in prison, maybe anything up to 2 years, and he was beginning to struggle. I wonder if John heard Jesus say at any time that Jesus come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. And maybe John thought, well, aren't I a prime candidate for this? To, you know, I need to be free from this prison. What am I doing here? And I'm sure over a period of time, the physical, the emotional strain would have been great on John. And then as time went on, doubt crept in. The reason why I want to, you know, share these things, apart from the fact that the story really spoke to me, is I increasingly meet people who have struggles. and maybe have doubts as well, particularly if you're going through long periods of suffering. As I go around the churches, I meet lots of people who are getting on in years, and many of them over time have ended up having age-related health issues and began to struggle. My own father, who, like some of you know, great preacher, has travelled the world, very much in this country, worked a lot with Billy Graham, fantastic ministry, and seen a lot of people come to the Lord through his ministry. He has Parkinson's, and it's affected his mental health, and over time, because it's gone on for a number of years, he's really struggled with it. It's that long suffering. And I'm just reminded again how difficult it is when these things come into our lives, unexpected things. In fact, I remember at Bible College back in 83, long time ago, there was a guy called Alan Redpath, theologian, pastor, evangelist, wonderful ministry, very old then, I was young, and I remember they would, when he was teaching, they'd help him up on the platform because he was unsteady on his feet because of his age, and he'd get behind the lectern and he'd often go, "Oh, the Holy Spirit's come in," and you could see the passion of God in his life. However, you could also see that as he was getting older, you know, it was a bit of a struggle for him. And he later on was quoted in saying, "Life doesn't get easier as one gets older." And I don't know if any of you would say amen to that. Life doesn't get easier as one gets older. And but it's not just the old people. We all at times can find life is a struggle. Circumstances come along that we're not expecting. Turns everything upside down. And we can have doubts and uncertainty. Where are you, God? You know, where are you in the midst of this? I've prayed about it. And it's still the same. Nothing's changed. And it's a struggle. And that's where doubts come in. And here's John the Baptist. In prison, he's used to being out there preaching the arrival of the Messiah, and now he's been languishing in prison for many months. And John says in Matthew 11, verse 2, he asks his disciple, go and ask Jesus, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect somebody else? Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect somebody else? Now, John had that plum job given to him by God to herald the arrival of the Messiah. One wonderful privilege. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets, and he was out there doing that, preaching the imminent arrival of the Messiah. And now he's saying, are you the one? Or should we expect somebody else? Now, I want to look at another piece of scripture that really shows how long-suffering has had its effect on John. And it's from John chapter 1 and verse 29. So this is going back a bit. So John, he's out there and he's doing what God's instructed him to do. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. And then the next verse it says, the next day John was there again with his two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. Now he's saying, are you the one? I'm not so sure. You can see how that doubt and uncertainty has got a hold of John. John the Baptist, of all people. Was he a disappointment to Jesus? When John's disciples went to Jesus and asked that question, this is what John's asking, are you the one or should we expect somebody else? Did Jesus go like, oh, John, what a letdown. You know, of all the people, I gave you that the top job, and now you're questioning whether I am the Messiah, the Son of God. Not you, John. You know, and it's, oh, what a disappointment. You know, and kind of Jesus' voice is disappointment. Did he do that? No, he didn't. He didn't do that. In fact, Jesus went on to encourage John. He said to his disciples to report back that the blind receive the sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Yes, the Messiah is amongst the people. So he gave him that encouragement. But then it's the next bit that I find absolutely lovely, because Jesus turned to the crowd and went on to say about John. He said, I tell you, among those born of women, there's nobody greater than John. There's nobody greater than John. And I find it amazing and absolutely wonderful that when we think we are failures, God turns round and says how much he loves and values us. That's an encouragement for you today. Because if you feel bad in yourself, you know, when you get doubts, it's kind of like, it's a double whammy, because now you sort of feel bad about yourself as a Christian, that you've had doubts and uncertainties, and you felt bad about yourself anyway, because you got into that situation of doubting, and now you feel even worse in yourself. But this is the love of Jesus for you and me. If Jesus can respond to John the Baptist in such a way, surely he loves and values each one of us here today. You may be somebody who sat here today and you do have doubts and uncertainties. You faithfully come here again, wonderful. But it's been a struggle because there are things that have gone on in your life, or maybe things that you see around you in the wider world, and you struggle with it. You know, where is God? You know, and I have those feelings now and again, when I see things that just seem to be unjust. Where are you, God? Don't you care? And those uncertainties. And particularly, you know, for those here who may, you know, have health issues. Because you remember the good days, you know, when you had a spring in your step and, you know, you were out there faithfully serving the Lord, such a good Christian. And now, you know, you struggle to get up in the morning and to get out. Where are you, God? And isn't it lovely how Jesus responded to John the Baptist? A man who just had the, you know, the top job. You know, come on, John, giving it to you. You herald the arrival of the Messiah, the Son of God into the world. And John is, because of this, being banged up in prison, says, I'm not sure if you are the one. And Jesus, instead of condemning him, just turns around and says, there's nobody greater than John. And that's how the Lord loves you and me. Do you know, what God thinks about us is infinitely more important than what we think about ourselves or what others think about us. And I say that again, what God thinks about us is infinitely more important than what we think of ourselves and what others think about us. I find that really helpful, because actually, I know I'm up here, stood up the front today, but I don't really have a lot of confidence. I'm not very good at many things. I can't think of anything I'm particularly good at, actually. So my confidence isn't so good, and I can be very sensitive to what others think about me, or actually what I think about myself. I'm very quick to say, you know, I'm not really particularly good at things, you know, quick to say these things. But what I actually love is what does God think about me? How does he value me? How does he see me? And that is what is the most important thing for us. What does God think about us? Which goes on to verse 28, where Jesus, after saying there's nobody greater than John, he turns around and says, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, that's not greater by merit, but it's the fact that, see, John is the last of the Old Testament prophets. He didn't actually see God's redemptive plan fulfilled. He didn't see the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He didn't see God's master plan, you know. But since then, all of us here, those of us who said yes to Jesus and received Christ into our lives, have received that forgiveness of our sins and been given that wonderful gift of salvation, that hope for the future. We are now children of the King. We are the bride of Christ. We're in that wonderful position that even the angels, haven't had that. You know, God has put us in a very special place in his family, the family of God. We are the children of the King. So, concluding, we may have doubts and uncertainties. You know, it's true. You know, Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. And many of us experience that, and particularly as the years go by. But you know, God's love for us is vast as the ocean. It's vast as the ocean. He loves his children. That's what gets me up in the morning. That's what gets me going to the port, talking to the seafarers. That gets me standing on a platform, is to know that God loves me. You know, particularly when I don't feel so good about myself at times. And you could put your name in the place of John, where Jesus said, of those born of women, there's nobody greater than you, than me. You know, God values us. He doesn't want us to, for us to be left languishing in doubt and uncertainty. He wants us to raise us up to trust and believe in him. And maybe we can also have that prayer of that father who brought his son to Jesus, where he says, Lord, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. So reflect on that today when you go back to your own homes. Particularly if you don't feel so good about yourself and you do have doubts and uncertainties, God loves you. God loves you and he values you. And he certainly doesn't look upon you with disappointment, but wants you to draw you out of those doubts and uncertainties and to put you in a place of trust and confidence in him. Let me close in prayer. Father God, we do thank you that your love is what rescues us. It's your love that puts our feet on solid ground. Lord, we are weak, we're fragile, we're sinners. We try to sin less, Lord God, but we're broken in many ways. But you have rescued us and called us into your family. Lord, if there's anybody here today who really has struggles and doubts and wonders whether you really do care, are you interested? Through the power of your Holy Spirit, would you touch those lives again and remind them that you do love them and that you do value them as a child of your family? Lord, encourage us, we pray. May we leave this place knowing that we are cared for by you. Help us to rise up out of those places of doubts and to be in a place of confidence and trust and that wonderful hope in you, in your precious name. Amen.